quick this morning because I don't, you know, it's no fun to sit when you're not real warm. So I'm going to move quickly, but I wanted to introduce to you the series for this month, honoring God in our time, our talent, and our treasure. And I just really wanted to focus on those three things as we begin this year, and I think maybe just get our focus where it needs to be. To me, January is such an important month. To me, I think it might be my favorite month of the year, believe it or not, because it's, to me, the quietest month. It tends to be the month that I always hear from God, seem like more than any other month of the year, probably because I stop more and I pay attention more and I'm seeking Him more. And, you know, the Bible says when you seek Him, you'll find Him. And I'll be honest, sometimes I don't seek Him like I should. But January seems to be the month that I always make sure I do. And so it's such a good month. It's a month when the other things shut down. You can't do any yard work. It's too darn cold out there. So you have more time because of those things, because even though the temperature is outside. So to me, it's an important month. And so I wanted to kick it off today talking about time. And the message title is Time's a Wasting. Time's a Wasting. And for me, time management has been something close to an obsession for me. I've looked at this many, many, many years, and I try to manage time in a way that I get everything out of every minute that I possibly can. I'm always thinking about it. It's always on my mind. If I've got 10 or 15 minutes, I can't sit down and just kind of do nothing. I'm packing it with something. I'm sending it. I'm typing an email, or I'm preparing this or preparing that. I'm doing something during all of that time, and I found that because I do that, I'm able somehow or other to manage to work a full-time job, pastor a church, run a business, have a family of six, and still somehow get through, because I'm always trying to manage my time. I try to squeeze every minute out of every day to the point to where Cherish tells me over and over, I don't know how to relax. I don't know how to. She says, do you ever, ever, ever have a time that you just sit down and say, I don't really have anything to do right now? Because I don't. I never do. In fact, for me, going on vacation, which is a wonderful thing, is very hard for me. I really fight. Cherish, midway through our vacation in September, she says, does vacation depress you? That's what she asked me. I said, I think maybe it does. Because I'm thinking, okay, I need to relax. I need to have fun with the family. But my mind just won't stop. I think about all this stuff that I could be doing. Maybe this stuff that I feel like I should be doing. And I have this wrestling match. Because I should be with my family. I should be having fun. I should be having a good time with them. But I also should be checking on this. I should be calling this person. I should be working on, because when I get back, I'm going to have all this stuff to do that I haven't done yet. And so I'm torn between, I should do this, I should do that. I don't know if anyone else knows what I'm talking about. But it's probably a little bit of the workaholic type of, you know, mindset. And so time to me is an important commodity. But it's something, though I try so hard to manage, I very often find that if I'm not careful, I manage out the things that really matter. Because I fill my time with things that need to be done, instead sometimes of the people and the person that I need to spend my time with. So that's really what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to come back to that story of Mary and Martha. And I just want to challenge you, as you begin this year, to spend your time the way He would want you to spend it. We tend to try to fit God into our schedule. And it's hard to do, because we all have things we're doing all day long. We should begin to think of it as His schedule, because it's His time. It's His world. We just get to live in it. Amen? And so if we begin to think of it as His schedule, His time, how can I fit me into His schedule rather than fit Him into mine? There's a few verses I want to kind of kick off with, and we'll pray real quick. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Psalm 39, verses 4 through 5 says, "Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this service and already things that have been shared. I think, Lord, that are exciting about those, oh God, that want to sacrifice some things in their time, so that they can hear you, they can spend time with you, Lord. And I pray, God, that we will all make that decision, whether we're in this room or whether we're listening by podcast today, that, oh God, we will all make that decision, that choice to honor you, at least for the next 21 days. We will start there. Let's start bite size. For the next 21 days, Lord, I'm going to honor you with my time. In fact, I'm going to begin to think of it as your time. And how do I fit into your schedule rather than the other way around? And I pray, oh God, that the reward will be that we will hear your voice, that we will know your presence. Oh God, we will feel closer to you in a way that we crave to know, because we've made the time for you. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Time is the great equalizer. No matter how much money you have, no matter what your background is, no matter how skills you have, everybody has the same amount of time. And for me, people that waste my time is irritating, because I've already confessed I'm this obsessive time manager. And so calls that are just, you know, to say hi irritate me. I want to know what you want. Why are you calling me? Let's talk about that. Let's get on to something else. And I've got to realize and understand that those calls that just to say hi are good too. Amen? But wasting time to me is such a important thing, because we only have so much of it. And the fact is that it's easier to manage our money than it is to manage our time. It really is. Because, you know, if you're really careful and you scale back, you can hold some money back for some things down the road, but you can't do anything different with time. Time's going to keep clicking no matter what you try to do. You cannot pause time. It doesn't happen. It's going to keep marching on. And so we can conserve many things in our lives, but we can't conserve time. We can only decide what to do with the time that we've been given. And several of you shared this morning, and I'm in the same boat with technology and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these things, social media in general. You know, technology should make it more possible for us to be more efficient with our time. It should help us to get more done in the day. But it tends to very often have the opposite effect and gets us sidetracked into other things. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, and says, "And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." Isn't Facebook sometimes just like that? Twitter, Instagram, I don't know, all those things, just like that? You know, where technology that should help us to communicate better, more effectively, instead causes us to gossip more. It causes us to be more snooping on other people's lives more and saying what we think about their lives. It's not always a good thing. And there's a drive in many of us, and for me, this is the challenge, is that drive to be productive. I always feel that's what, to me, that's the whole thing. I've got to make sure every minute is productive in life. But if you're productive in the wrong direction, it's kind of like the bus driver who made the announcement, "Hey guys, we got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is, we took the wrong turn and we're on the wrong road going the wrong direction. But the good news is we're making great time." And sometimes our desire to be productive is great, but if we're going the wrong direction, How is that helping? The only reason we don't have enough time, I believe, is because we are not doing what God has asked of us. If we do what God has asked of us to do, then we will have enough time to do that. Time is a gift. But the scripture tells us time will eventually run out. God has called us to steward his time. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 2, it says, So let a man consider us as a servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Steward is someone that manages the assets of someone else. I think as we begin this year to understand time is in his hands. It is his time and not my time. And so my job is to be a good steward of his time. And it brings me back to the scripture read earlier today about Mary and Martha. And how Martha was concerned about many things and all these things she was trying to do to make Jesus comfortable at her house and fixing dinner and, you know, and cleaning the house and all these things. And she's overwhelmed. She was obviously worried. She was all these things about you know, all the details that needed to be tended to. And Mary, her sister, is over there just worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And the more Martha watched her sit there, watched her, you know, just laughing and smiling and having a good time with Jesus, the more irritated she got, the more frustrated she got. She said, I'm having to do all this work. And Mary's not helping a bit. All she wants to do is hang out with Jesus. So irritated. And, you know, I kind of understand her perspective, don't you? I get what she was frustrated about. But she didn't understand how valuable it was to have the God of the universe sitting in her house. She didn't quite understand how awesome that was. I mean, if Jesus was to literally walk into your house and sit down at your dining room table and you knew it was him, what would you do? Would you quit using Facebook? Would you put your phone down? Or would you get on Facebook? And would you tell everybody, guess he's sitting in my house? Yeah, do a selfie with Jesus? Is that what you do? Yeah. Yeah. Started all this stuff. Instead of just sitting down at the table and having something really strange, a conversation with a person, not a device. Whoa. That would be kind of strange. But if we didn't stop and do that, what an opportunity we would have missed. And that was what Mary and Martha were dealing with. Martha was trying to do all the stuff because Jesus was there. Let's make the house look good. Let's fix all this stuff. Let's tell everybody he's here through some ancient form of Facebook. Mary was saying, all that stuff doesn't matter. I watched him turn, you know, water into wine. I watched him take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and make dinner. Jesus can take care of all that stuff. I know cooking is great and I want to eat, but Jesus can do that. You know, he could take this dirt right here and just turn it into a 5-course dinner if he wants. That doesn't matter. Stop. Spend some time with the creator of the universe, because he may not come to our house that often. You can't tell Jesus when to show up. You know that? And the Bible says when we seek him, we'll find him. But there are times when the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door. He said, I want to talk to you. And if you tell him, I'm busy right now. I got all this stuff to do. I promise you, Lord, I'll pray tomorrow. I promise you, Lord, I'll read my Bible next week. I just got so much on my plate right now. I'm so busy. I've got all these things pressuring me. I promise you, Holy Spirit, I'll take time for you next week. And maybe next week he comes knocking again. And our best of intentions are to give him that time, but after a little while, He quits knocking. You know what I'm talking about? Our heart used to be drawn to him. We find he seems so far away. Why is that? Because I was too busy. I was too busy when he came knocking. I was too busy being Martha and not being Mary. Your life is going to be busy. No matter what you do, and you got to work, you got to raise a family, you got responsibilities. But in the middle of life, you got to bring God into your life. One thing that Cherish does, she'll have a favorite preacher, and usually it's not me. For a while, it was Andy Stanley, and she heard all he had to say, so he was good. Move on to somebody else. But she'll have these podcasts, and I'll just hear her listening to him, walking around the house, doing housework, and whatever needs to be done. She's hearing the word, and she tells me some things that I need to put in my sermons that she heard. But sometimes it's good stuff, so I'll take it. Worship music. You know, when you're riding down the road, on your way to from work, do you find time to bring God into your life? One of the things that has kind of been on my heart and my mind a lot is the power of your presence in his presence together. You know, sometimes the important thing in life is just to show up, just to be there, just to be there. And you know what? If I'm here, sometimes I don't have to do anything. I don't have to, you know, even at church service. I've enjoyed the last couple of Sundays that I didn't preach. Sometimes just being here, being engaged, being involved is such an important thing. But it's easy to be there and not be there. You know what I mean? Cherish would tell me that all the time. I'd be at home, and here I am again. I'm maximizing my time. So I'm sitting at the dining room table working. I'm there. I'm in the house. Kids are all around me. I'm not somewhere else. But I'm totally oblivious to whatever they're doing. And she's told me many times over our years of marriage, you're here, but you're not here. And so to be engaged, the presence, our presence, in his presence together, such an important thing. I preached a couple of years back about us being created in his image. And Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27 says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. That word in his image means that he was imprinted. He made an impression on mankind. His fingerprint was on every living being created in his image. But the problem with an imprint, the problem with an impression is it goes away. It's kind of like memory foam. When you put your hand in it, you can see your handprint for a second or two. You pull your hand away and it's gone. And so what God needs calls for us to do is to continually be imprinted, continually be made in his image. Every day, the Bible says, Adam would walk with God in the cool of the day, being re-imprinted, being re-imaged by God. That word re-imaged, I had to do that to my laptop here recently. And it wiped everything out, restarted like it was a brand new computer. And I'd saved most things, so I was okay to put them back on. But those other things that I had to get set back up again, like my email and things like that, I had to get reformatted again. January, this 21-day fast, is a great time to get re-imaged, just to wipe everything out. God, what really matters? Let me refocus. Let me be re-imprinted by you. Show up. Even at church, show up consistently. It's for those that miss one Sunday a month, Do you realize you're missing 3 months a year? You miss two Sundays a month, that's half the year. You're not there. Now, we try to do things, and we're trying to get back to that, and we will start back in February sometime with Wednesday nights. And if you miss a Sunday, if you come on a Wednesday, at least you haven't missed a whole week. But, man, it's amazing how 1 week can lead to the next, and all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of hard to get back. And when you're here, it's not enough to just be here, but really be here, be engaged, be involved. The things we talked about with our security team is having our security team in place and ready to respond should something happen. But it's hard to have our security team respond if they're not here. And if they're here, are they aware? Are they conscious? Are they connected to what's going on? It's the same way in your home. Same way in your life, your relationship with God, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids. Be engaged. Your presence in their presence. Be connected together. There's a few things that sometimes affect us when we don't have enough time. And some of these I'm preaching to myself about. But sometimes we're driven by a need for approval and appreciation. We can't say no. Can't say, I've struggled with that. We have to continually check Facebook to see how many likes we got for this and that. We spend so much time looking for approval and appreciation of others. Sometimes things that take up our time is a need for emotional and physical comfort. And so this is one thing with me. I find that feel like you have to work nonstop so that you have some sense of peace about the future and down the road. And so we take up so much time. The security and control is another thing. We find it hard to delegate because we don't think anyone can do it as good as us. I've struggled with that. And so because we have this need for security and control, we can't let things go. It takes up our time. Influence and power. Some of us fill our schedule so that we'll have more knowledge, more money, more prestige, and we're constantly thinking about the things that advance us and our influence in life. And so we get caught up with things that take up our time. The question for us to know today, do we realize it's His time and not ours? And can we be a steward of His time? Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 16, read it already, says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Four quick steps and a finish. The first thing to redeem the time is learn how to rest. Rest in God. I'm speaking to myself here as much as you. Learn how to rest. It's not easy. Maybe you got to schedule the rest. You know, the Bible did say the fourth commandment was honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It was a command, you know. You're breaking the Ten Commandments just the same as if you committed adultery or you lied or you stole or you murdered somebody if you don't take a day of rest. That was a bombshell for me a year or two ago. Sometimes you got to schedule that to make sure you do it. If you're like me and you just run all the time, you got to make yourself stop. Take some rest. And cutting off some of the technology we talked about will help you with that. But if you're not careful, you'll just fill it with something else. So during that time, would you stop? Would you do a little more Mary than Martha? Spend some time with Him. Take out your Bible. Take out your devotional. Put on some worship music. Listen to a sermon podcast. Do something that helps you to rest and focus on Him. Secondly, during this January, would you ask God for His calling for your life? Who are you? Who am I? And what am I supposed to be doing? Most of our lives, we struggle to find that out, don't we? I believe if you take some time out this month, God will show that to you. You may not know it for the next 20 years of your life, but you'll know what this year is supposed to do, where you're supposed to be, and what He's called you to do. And it may not be a complex plan. And it's maybe the next step. It may be a general idea, a general direction. But God will speak to you if you ask Him, what is your purpose for my life? Let's not just be these people that react all the time. You know? Just stuff happens and I react to it. Stuff happens and I react to it. Let's be the people that before anything ever happens, I know what God is speaking to my life. And instead of reacting, I learn to act. I'm ahead of the situation. Thirdly, firstly, rest with God. Secondly, know your calling. Thirdly, embrace every season. This is a big deal. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, a time, for every purpose under heaven. And it goes on throughout Ecclesiastes 3. It talks about a time for this, a time for that. There's a time for everything. Why don't you make up your mind as we begin this fast today, Lord, I'm going to embrace now. I'm going to embrace today. I'm going to embrace this season of my life. I'm not going to be frustrated that I don't, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to go there. I'm waiting for this to finish so that I can do this. I'm trying to get it finished with my degree so I can do this. I'm trying for my kids to get older so I can do that. I'm trying to get a better job so I can do this. I'm trying to, maybe for some of you, you've retired. And, okay, what do I do now? I feel like I need something else to fill up my time, and we're always looking for what could come next so that I can feel good about what I'm supposed to be doing in life. How about embracing today? Embracing this season of my life. Everything there is a season. The season I'm in right now is the season I'm in. And Lord, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to live for today. Not live for a year down the road, 10 years down the road, waiting for my ship to come in. I'm living today. My life is what it is. I might as well live it. Hallelujah. So rest with God, know your calling, embrace every season, and lastly, repent of wasting His time. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. It's His time. It's not my time. I'm just a steward of His time. Time is in His hands. And as I begin this year, as I begin this fast, Lord, I don't want to try harder to fit You into my schedule. God, I want to fit me into Yours. What is Your plan? What is Your purpose for my life? And Lord, please forgive me for being caught up with so many things. Maybe they're just things like Martha. They're not bad things, but they're things that keep me too tied up to focus on You. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for thinking that all these things that I had to do were more important than spending time with You. Forgive me, Lord, for wasting Your time. Because as much as I hate it when people just take up time out of my life and don't get anything done, how much do you think God feels about that? He says, I'm here. I'm ready to do something great in your life. Ready to help you with that. Ready to heal you of that. But you're too busy. You're too focused on all this stuff that you think needs to be done. And Martha, if you would just sit down and learn from Mary, you would realize what really mattered, what really counted, what was really important in life. My last scripture, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out, speaking of Jesus, departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. If God in the flesh needed to pray, and He had to get up early to make time to do it, how much more should we? And Simon and those who were with him searched for Him. Where'd you go? When they found Him, they said to Him, everyone is looking for You. They're looking for a miracle. They're looking for a healing. They're looking for this. They're looking for that. But He said to them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Everybody's looking for you, Jesus. Yeah, I know, but I'm going over here. Why are you going over here? They're looking for you here. Because I got up this morning. I spent some time with my Father. And he said, I need to go over here. So often we react to what's right around us. People crying out for this, crying out for that. But do we know what God is saying? Do we know what God is speaking to our hearts to do? Because if we know that, then we know what to do about this. And there were times when Jesus did stop. There were times when he did work miracles. But on this occasion, it was time for him to move on. But how do you know? Unless you spent time with him. Amen. Can we stand up together? Jared, if you'll come. Told you I was going to be quick. I don't know if I was quick or not, but felt like I was quick. Feels warmer in here, at least. Yeah. It may be 80 degrees before we leave here today, and we'll think, oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Can we just take a moment, and I don't know what you guys are going to do, but we won't hold you long. And some of you already made a commitment to what you're going to fast, and some of you need to go ahead and talk to the Lord about that right now. But it's got to be bigger than just the 21-day fast. 21-day fast is a good start. And the whole concept between 21 days to make a habit is it's something you know you need to do anyway. But if you tell your mind you only have to do it for 3 weeks, it's easier for your mind to agree to it. It's kind of one of those psychological things. You know, if you say I'm going to quit smoking, for instance, for the rest of my life. I've never smoked, but for those of you who have, I've understood that's a very hard thing to do. If you say I'm only going to do it for 21 days, it's easier for your mind to wrap around that. So really what I want you to talk to the Lord about is what are some things that he wants you to start or to stop that you know he's been already talking to you about for the rest of your life. Don't you need to make time for him every day between now and the rest of your life? Sure you do. But if you'll commit to it for 21 days, it'll help your mind to agree. So it's not one of those things that I had this conversation with Pastor Robbie Hilton a few years back. He said people fast, you know, and the whole time they're fasting, all they can think about is the hamburger they can't eat. And they're whining about it. He said, I get so tired of their whining, I wish I'd just go eat a hamburger. As soon as the fast is over, they're rushing out and eating a triple decker. Because that's all they thought about the whole fast. Don't do that. That's why I said do something that's manageable for you, that you can handle. Fast in a way that commits your time to him. In a way that you can continue beyond the 21 days. Because God, I want to be more like Mary than Martha. And Lord, I confess, I've been a lot more like Martha than Mary most of my life. But I don't want to stay there. Oh Lord, can you talk to me just for a moment where you are? And if you feel the need to come to this altar, this altar is open right now. If you want to just talk to the Lord for a minute, please, please come. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the time that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, the time is in your hands, and Lord, you have blessed us with time. Some of us, oh God, have lived longer than others, and so we have been granted more time. But the longer we live, the more we realize how little time we really have, how fast life goes. Lord, I pray, God, that you will reset, you will reformat, re-image us. Even as we begin this fast today, say, Lord, forgive me for thinking about it as my time and not your time. Help me, Lord, to configure, Lord. I pray, oh God, you will help me in these next 21 days to learn how to rest with you, to find out your purpose, your calling for my life, to embrace today, this season that you've got me in, Lord. Not be frustrated, but accept where you've got me right now. And help me, Lord, to continue to repent, not just today, but any day that I waste your time. When I fill up my time with everything that matters to me and don't stop to think about what matters to you, forgive me, Lord. Because, Lord, I don't want to be oblivious to your presence. I don't want to be Martha. I want to be Mary. I want to be the one that recognized that you're there and stopped what I was doing to spend time with you. Forgive me, Lord, for not doing that enough. Help me to do it more. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, can you just talk to the Lord for 5 minutes where you are? We're going to let you go in 5 minutes. Let me just talk to him. If you want to come to this altar, it's open.